This is Julianne Ohanian with a Jumping Mullet Report on WSLR 96.5. Yesterday morning, I invited sitting city commissioner and candidate for the upcoming election, Eileen Normile, to give her a chance to speak to her experience prior to sitting on the city commission about what issues she'd like to bring to the commission if elected.
My name is Eileen Normile. I am the sitting city commissioner for District 2. That includes the downtown area and quite a lot of the territory west of 41. I was appointed in November to finish the term of now County Commissioner Paul Caragiulo. So like Commissioner Zimmerman, who was appointed to fill the District 3 seat when Shannon Snyder had to resign for his run for county office, we are both running for election for a full term. As far as my background goes, I grew up in the Bronx in New York, went to college there. I was in broadcasting as a first career as a TV anchor for a Hong Kong TV when my husband and I moved there, and also as a reporter for the CBS radio network in New York. When we returned to New York, I worked as a writer for CBS. Later in life, after two children were partially grown, 11 and 8 years old, I decided to go to law school, which I did for 4 years part-time while I raised the girls in New Jersey. And I started a career as a criminal prosecutor. I specialized in domestic violence cases and felony cases. My husband and I retired in 2008 and decided that Sarasota was the place to go from snowy New Jersey. And we had been vacationing here, visiting friends here for many years, and we knew it was really a unique and special place, and we made the right decision. It is a wonderful place. We moved to Bird Key. I joined the Homeowners Association, became president of the Homeowners Association, and spearheaded the effort to update the governing documents for Bird Key, which had not been done in 50 years. They were actually legally out of date. So that was a year-long project that took a lot of effort on a lot of different people's parts, but we were successful, and 70% of the 500 residents eventually voted to approve the new documents. I also served on the police advisory panel. Initially, the first year I was on that, I wrote a researched and wrote a paper on the domestic violence legal environment in Sarasota. That led to the hiring of a victim advocate for the police department, and actually a change in the general orders of the police department, which is the methodology by which they handle domestic violence incidents. Also, as part of the police panel, I did a lot of research into the Dr. Marbut report, found that his information, quite a bit of his information, about the Come As You Are shelter did not really add up. Statistics took a 6 months to get. It's a lengthy discussion, but I'd like to think that the research that I did as part of the panel on homelessness was one of the reasons they did not cite a Come As You Are shelter in the city. Also, the panel this past summer, when I was chair of the panel, led the investigation and research into the reasons for Sarasota's PD having lost its accreditation. That took quite a bit of research on the part of the entire panel, all of whom are major accomplished professionals in their fields. We did produce a report that probably saved the city $100,000 or more if they had had to hire a consultant, and it led to the hiring of a full-time accreditation manager for the Sarasota Police Department. So that's basically my background, and then I was actually appointed to the City Commission in November.
Yeah, just curious, you said that the Marbut report, you found that his assessment of the situation wasn't quite adding up, and what about it was sort of out of whack? What did you find to be not quite right?
Well, I had great hopes when Dr. Marbut was first hired. I think everyone did. And in fact, quite a bit of his report has served the community well. Mm. But when I read the section on the Come As You Are shelter, which is, of course, the most controversial portion of the report, there were items in it that just didn't add up, such as his consistent requirement that a Come As You Are shelter be next door to or in the very close vicinity of the public defender's office. That was the first thing that caught my eye. As a prosecutor, I know what public defenders do. Mm. They are mobile and they visit their clients wherever they are, whether they're in jail or elsewhere. Mm. So I began to research the Pinellas shelter, which is the model for the Come As You Are shelter, as it would have been in Sarasota, at least according to the Marbut report. Mm. The Pinellas shelter is 10 to 13 miles away from Clearwater in St. Pete. It is near the jail and the public defender's office. Mm. So I called the public defender. His name is Mr. Dillinger, believe it or not. That's a great name for a lawman. And he kindly spent half an hour on the phone with me, during which time I asked him if it would have made any difference whatsoever if the shelter were 20 or 30 miles away from his office, and the answer was absolutely not. He doesn't even keep an attorney at the shelter. He has a type of an administrative assistant to administer and handle the plea agreements that the folks who are in the Pinellas shelter have to sign after they're brought there by the police for some infraction. Mm. So then I began to look at the numbers of people who were there. And in fact, it handles around 400 people. 200 of them are never there for lunch. So the question becomes, well, where are they? In fact, some of them may be at meetings, services, and or jobs, but a great deal of them are not. So they are basically out and about during the day, which if we had put a Come As You Are shelter in downtown Sarasota, they too would be out and about during the day. And I think that's one of the issues that affect the residents of Sarasota, is that people receive some kind of care, and also that there not be groups of people loitering around the city at all hours of the day and night. So that seemed to remove one of the benefits to the other residents of the city, those who are not homeless, those who have businesses, etc. It took 6 months to get statistics on the shelter. I did it through a public records request. The shelter wouldn't release them to the police department or anyone else. And the numbers are, I can only say, abysmal. Thousands go in the last year, the numbers were available, it was 2013, and thousands entered the shelter. There was no way to tell whether it was one person who went in thousands of times or discrete individual people who went in. But it's probably a mix of people re-entering and people who enter for the first time. But only two of them were able to actually complete a program that could be followed by the TBIN system, which is the HMIS system, Homeless Management Information System for Tampa Bay. So when you talk about putting $8 million or so into a shelter that would become a permanent fixture in downtown, there really ought to be something quantifiable that you can look at before you take that step. There are other models, such as the Housing First model, which does have quantifiable success rates, and that's where I'd like to see us go. We have to do something. We will do something. But doing the wrong thing isn't any better.
You've had really extensive experience both within like community and within law too. How can you bring that to the city commission? How do you feel like you can use that experience?
As an investigative reporter in the first part of my career and writer/communicator, and as a trial attorney, all of those skills are incredibly useful on something like the city commission. One of the most important things is the ability to communicate with the citizens that you represent. Of course, even though I, at this point, only represent District 2, I'm one of five votes that affect the entire city. Mm-hmm. So it's important to be able to communicate what you're thinking and the reasons for it so that people understand. So communication is a skill that certainly is more than useful. As a trial attorney, I learned that you don't do anything without facts, figures, and evidence. To get the evidence, it's not just what you read on paper, it's also the people you talk to and evidence you yourself can gather. So it involves investigation, a lot of reading, understanding, questioning, and compiling facts. That has served me well as a commissioner, and I think that that's a skill that every commissioner should have.
You mentioned some of the things that you had done before sitting on the commission. How do those, I guess, do those relate to topics that you find like especially significant for Sarasota? Like what topics have you brought to the city commission for the short time that you've been sitting there? And then what would you like to bring in the future too?
Well, certainly the homeless issue is an issue that the city has to deal with very soon. Mm-hmm. And I do believe they will. That the research that I did into that is very useful in my speaking with other homeless advocates and understanding some of the difficulties that the city is having with helping and controlling the homeless population. Yesterday's city commission meeting, actually, we had Leslie Loveless there from the Suncoast mm-hmm. Coalition. She kindly gave us statistics and explained some of the programs. And she was also able to explain a little bit further the statistics I had gotten from the Pinellas shelter, which were the T-BIN statistics. Mm-hmm. And in fact, she confirmed that the T-BIN, which stands for Tampa Bay Information Network, mm-hmm. that though the T-BIN statistics are actually is actually the system that we have copied, or her organization and others like hers have copied here in Sarasota to create the Homeless Management Information System. Mm-hmm. So it continues, the homeless situation continues to be a thorny issue that we have to deal with, and it should be handled in the very near future.
So that's like your priority right now is homelessness?
I think homelessness is top of the list. Mm-hmm. We certainly have to understand the problem. Again, you know, I'm facts and evidence based. I hate to keep repeating that, but you really need to understand the problem first. Who are these people? What are their needs? The Sarasota Police Department has what's called a HOT team, the Homeless Outreach Team. Mm-hmm. That's composed of two police officers and a mental health therapist, and soon they'll have two of those teams. And Calvin, the mental health therapist, has cataloged as best he can, because he does not have access to the HMIS system. Mm. He's cataloged the individuals who are on the street. He and his team have sought them out, tried to get them help. Really doing remarkable work. But his guesstimate, and it's only a guesstimate because he is not a doctor, but his guesstimate is that about 60% of the 400 or so that are here are suffering from, are mentally ill, and or addicted. So they have medical and psychological and psychiatric needs. That leaves about 40% that he guesstimates, again, because mm-hmm. he can mm-hmm. only do that are not. And so what do we do with that population if they refuse services? You know, certainly some people become homeless because they've fallen on hard times, and there is help available for them. I wish there were more, but if they will accept help, they will get help. There are also those who do not want help and just continue to remain homeless for whatever reason that is. And in order to maintain the community, there has to be some sort of policing activity to maintain some sort of civilized standard on the streets.
Do you feel like there's any conflict in using the homeless outreach team and having police officers like working at sort of like the forefront of that effort rather than like social workers or something like that?
No. I wish you could meet these police officers. There's two of them, Lori Jarris and Officer Dubendorf. They are remarkable people. Mm-hmm. They really act as social workers. Would it be great to have additional social workers? Absolutely it would. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand, Calvin, who is the mental health therapist, he's also a veteran. You know, there's a certain amount of protection that people need going around talking to individuals who are suffering from illnesses and addictions. You don't want to put people in jeopardy. So I think it's important that the police be involved. And again, the way these police officers are conducting themselves is so exemplary. There just cannot be any question that they're helping people and doing it in the right way.
That's all of the questions I had, but if you wanted to add anything that we haven't already touched on.
Well, I just say that, you know, the other main issue is the traffic situation. I mean, the homelessness is a very thorny and difficult issue, but we also have this never-ending traffic situation, which people seem to just throw their hands up and say, you know, it's seasonal, it'll pass, this too will pass. But I'm doing a lot of traveling around to different homeowners and neighborhood associations, talking to an awful lot of people, and it's really disturbing so many people that something has to be done. They're stuck on the bridge and they're looking at the cranes, and that is just more than many can bear. Mm-hmm. I asked the city commission at the last city commission meeting to set up some sort of a traffic summit. And that's just a fancy word for saying, let's get in the representatives of the state, the county, and all the people in the city who work on traffic issues, along with the city commissioners, and let's all talk in one room. It's just all we ever hear is, well, FDOT doesn't call us back, or that's the Florida Department of Transportation. Mm. Or they just can't approve it this year. Or somehow we have to put us, we all need to be in one room and discussing the needs, and let's see what they can come up with instead of just phoning in from Tallahassee. Let's get somebody in there. And the city manager, Tom Barwin, is working on setting that up. We'd love to have some kind of short-term mitigation in place before next season. And by short-term, long term is the roundabouts, which will be 2019 to 2021. People are saying we need another bridge. Well, if we do or don't, that is long term. Short term could be something as simple as a right-hand turn lane from 41 onto Fruitville, mm-hmm. or water transport going, water ferries, water taxis going from the Bayfront to St. Ormond's, Lido Key, possibly little trolleys to deliver people from the water transport to the beaches, just to clear some traffic off the bridge. I think these things are not pie in the sky. They are possible, and we need to look at them seriously.
All right, wonderful. Well, yeah, thank you.
thank you
for sitting down.
Thank you for having me.
Don't forget to vote. That upcoming election is going to be on March 10th. Please visit sarasotavotes.com to check where your local voting location is and to learn more about the City Commission candidates. This is the Jumping Mullet Report on WSLR 96.5.